Hi, welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Ling.
We are back with new movies to talk about. Cloverfield. AKA 1-18-08.
I heard that people are very divided about Cloverfield.
Yes, we shall come to that in a minute. What else are we reviewing today?
We're going to be looking at Atonement, the Golden Globe Best Picture winner.
Is it a chick flick? You tell me later.
There are chicks inside.
And we are going to review a TV series, a very new one, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yeah, but first, let's take a look at what's showing this week. What's showing this week, huh?
Gay newspaper.
Bluff one.
Fake newspaper
today.
Sharkwater looks very interesting. One of those gritty documentaries. And as the name goes, it's about sharks and how one man tries to save them all.
It's one of those documentaries which shot like a movie.
Correct.
Drama.
Actually, the way that the music's been put in as well, it just looks like some sort of adventure, deep sea adventure.
The ultimate sacrifice. One man. There's still that one man thing that was in the trailer.
Correct. Exactly one. Like that. That kind of VO.
Yeah, one man. Ultimate sacrifice to save the sharks from the evil Chinese wedding dinners.
Exactly. And the vinegar.
Oh no, so evil. Evil us.
I didn't have shark's fin at my wedding, actually.
You're so good.
Did you?
I cannot.
You had, right?
I cannot say. I'll get angry letters coming in from listeners.
Well, I didn't have. Ling did not have, because she did not have a Chinese wedding dinner.
Good for you. I'm unfortunately the firstborn and we had to have one.
With
the
you
works.
Can actually serve fish more soup. Okay, anyway, we digress.
What else is showing this week? 27 Dresses.
That's right.
Katrin Heigl.
You like, right?
I like her. She's from the, of course, Knocked Up, and the other one, the TV series, Grey's Anatomy, the hottie, model turned doctor.
And, I think it's a basic premise of always a bridesmaid and never a bride. So she's like a bridesmaid like 27 times or something. And then...
Oh, I see. That's why I got 27 dresses. I didn't get that part. I understand now. Okay.
Yeah, correct. But if you're a bride, then actually it's times two, because you have like first walk in, second walk in.
No, if you're a Singapore bride, it's four dresses.
Four?
Yes. One for the church wedding.
Okay. Then, if you are getting married.
Then three times for an evening one.
Oh, three times?
My wife had three dresses. Went out, changed three times.
You
hardly
win!
Ate.
You got four dresses. You got shark's fin.
Yeah. I didn't say I got shark's fin. I refuse to admit it.
Okay. Fine.
So she's very, she's a very upset person because she's always unable to, she always says yes. She's not standing up for herself. And this whole comedy is about how she now planning the wedding of her sister to the guy that she loves.
Yes, exactly.
But whatever lah, this type of plot, who cares, right? Just to watch her, Katrin Heigl. Act cute. And what I was showing this week is the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the whole title.
Very, very long title.
Yeah. You can see the word Jesse James. Then on top below, like a small font, the assassination of, and then below by the coward Robert Ford.
That's fine. Actually, it looks a bit like a subtitle, but then actually it's the whole title.
It's by Brad Spitz.
Brad Spitz.
Who won a award for this. Yeah. Some acting award, but best actor.
Actually, I think he is quite good, to be honest. Yeah, it's just that he always has to apologize and like prove himself because...
Sorry, I'm a hunk.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But in this movie, he's Jesse James and some Robert Ford character tries to assassinate him.
That's right.
As the title suggests.
They've told it all to you. You don't need no more synopsis.
Wait, what's the plot? Can you imagine the fella asking the director, so what is this assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford about?
It's like, well, read your script.
Read your title. Okay, we're going to jump into review time.
See what show? Review time.
First up is Cloverfield, aka 1-18-08.
My name is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do. Hello? Beth, where are you?
Okay, we cannot go into the middle of the city. We can't get out of here.
There's nothing you can do for now.
Do you know what that thing is?
Whatever it is, it's winning.
Do you have any idea what's out there?
I don't care what's out there. Listen to me. She's dying.
Turn that camera.
Stop. Run. Run, my
outside. Robbie, Robbie, it's alive.
What was that?
Still filming?
Yeah. People are going to want to know, you know, how it all went down.
We had a chance to speak to some friends who watched it, some who liked it, and one who didn't. And let's listen to what they have to say about this heavily hyped movie by J.J. Abrams of Lost fame. I just wanted to know why you like Cloverfield, because he said you liked it very much.
This is Scott special. Just say anything.
Just can
anything.
Tell me, man.
Okay. Only one thing.
This is Scan.
Yeah. That's all.
Why?
Because it's a real. It's the first time that I see the movie that showed the real viewpoint of
the victim.
I mean, in the party with my friend. What the f is. Monster is coming! There! Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So no need to know about. What the hell of the monster is coming? The reason? Oh, what was it created from the nuclear or something? Oh, I don't know any shit, but it's coming! That's all.
Oh.
That's the thing.
So that's why it's cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's cool, because if you are in this situation, how the hell are you gonna know what is the monster, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know, but you run!
I sat next to this bugger the whole time around. Must have the disdain of the rest of the crew with us, lah. But in essence, I mean, I second what he says. I second what he felt.
So
It was very true to like the viewpoint of whoever is going through the harrowing shit experience, lah.
Okay.
Three things I think we like both, right?
Yes.
The cameraman. Explain why the cameraman was a fool, because he is an idiot, and yes. He was like, remember, I mean, when he first got hold of the cam, like, he's like a little school kid, first time, you know, came across his porn stash and something like that. Right. He was like, oh, this is cool, and then. He takes on as his personal little mission to record the whole party down, you know, and be the journalist for the night. Yeah. And he gets very into it, and that sets the basis for the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Second coolest point was, what do you like? What do we say? What do we like? The most.
Thing as the.
Antu was asking us.
Guess there's no second point.
No, the thing is.
Yeah, there isn't a point. It's just.
Yeah, but a lot of people complain about the fact that
how about you just cite the complaints and then we give our response accordingly.
The bad camera work, like it was
bad camera work.
It was just puke worthy.
Wow,
like.
I didn't know that you could frame your shots.
In a panic situation, you don't frame your shots. What?
You don't run to the bottom of the corner. Hey, it is a better way to look at the monster. I mean, it's as it comes, right? It's convenient. Yeah, it still tells a story. It follows certain conventions, but
well, got people upset about like the ending also. The ending also like
ending.
Nobody knows what's the monster's origin. Then like not
I
much
think
of the monster.
That's the point of the movie.
Okay,
yeah.
like one.
Not enough monster.
One of our good friends once said, right? You watch Tremors. Did anyone at the end of Tremors ask where they came from? You know, you just took it as it is.
Right? Oh, Tremors is the one with Kevin Bacon, is it?
Huh?
But there's not much monster. Even as a monster movie, it's like not enough. You don't really see enough of the monster. It's a love story, the monster is
It's
the monster
story.
Is a sideshow.
It's a sideshow, correct? Yeah. I'm glad you got that too.
I got it. Oh, I mean, I got Kai's approval.
Not in the situation.
No, I think it's not your regular monster movie.
It's not your regular monster movie, It seemed like those viral ad campaign thing by those high quality production house.
It's a generic monster movie, like. Everything you've seen before.
Yeah.
Monster Attack City. People are running away. But it's shot in the perspective of the victims.
Okay. But the girl was hot, lah.
Of course. Oh, I thought she was doing the channel.
No, she's not.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, but she was hot.
Yeah.
I think he took it as it is.
Yeah.
I didn't expect like a very cheap backstory and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, the marine scene did it for me.
Which one?
The 8 seconds worth of artillery and shit.
Oh,
you know when they conveniently ran down one alleyway and then
they didn't have
all
any marines. They will you think.
I think any kind of like marine scenes will work for you, lah.
Sorry, lah.
Even if
I'm
it's
easy
8
to
seconds,
please, you know.
Okay, now we'll have an 8 second Kai marine scene.
Yeah.
Just for him.
Yeah.
God damn, that was great.
I think you watch a love story. If there was like
that was
a dollar for every second of marine scene. Yeah. Combat, right?
Combat.
Yeah.
Combat evolve.
I like the little guys, lah.
I like
the little critters more than I like the big monster. I thought they were frightening.
You saw less of them than you did.
But they were more frightening, eh? They're like, they came out and then like, yeah.
Something like that.
Hey, what happened to the chick?
inside the tent. I didn't get that.
She blew up.
So it,
her blood pressure. I mean, remember when she was like, guys, I don't feel too good. Right? You could see like the blood coming out of her eyes.
Oh, it was a blow up. Like,
you could tell like, her heart was probably, her blood pressure was probably going through the.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene too, actually.
Yeah. So she went. You can let the audience to guess about it. What happened?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No, but we kind of freaked out. No, both of us actually shut up when we saw this soldier being wheeled in, and he had his whole chest cavity like.
Oh yeah,
and then
you're
like, oh
scary.
Shit, not another chest buster thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's like, oh, it thankfully it wasn't lah. It was just.
It wasn't alien.
Yeah, it wasn't alien all over again.
Yeah, so that's cool. Okay. So we can guess, but I don't think there's only one big monster. No.
Yeah,
I don't think there's only one because if we see from the size, the first one we see is very big. And the one who crushing the cameraman is smaller.
Yeah, a bit smaller.
It's
a bit smaller than
and
the
in the different direction that the plane coming.
Oh.
You see the direction of the plane going? It's different direction.
Okay.
Maybe another
monster. Maybe we must watch it again. Yeah. But this time to have a full dinner before we watch it.
Everyone took their bit of the story lah. Like everyone notices different things lah.
That's the fun part. Okay, thanks guys. So I'm just talking to Darren, Kai and Scan, who are like the three of the four people in Singapore who love the movie.
Oh nice.
Oh no.
Thank you.
I heard you watched Cloverfield and didn't like it.
Oh. Who said so?
A lot of people watched it and didn't like it. Eh?
A lot. No, yeah. I think there's only a few who didn't get it.
Are you the ones?
Pretty much, I kind of expected that it would be something like a Blair Witch Project thing, but I mean, probably I was not really in the mood because it seems like everybody was against me. Like, hey, why did you like it? I don't know. I just saw it and okay.
So everybody you watched with liked it.
Yeah, except me. I'm like me against the world or something like that.
Apparently, the world doesn't like it. Eh?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought the world loved it.
No, I read a few like people like walk out, don't spend your money.
Oh, really? I guess it's like durian.
You either like
either really like it or really don't like it.
What do you not like about it?
I came in without any expectations. Just, you know, wanted to have a good movie outing. The only saving grace is the girl for
me. The girl's pretty.
Yeah,
the
girl's pretty. I mean, and then it was like, if you want to show an event like that, you could have just shown it in like it's a few clips of advertisements, okay, monster attacking and that's it. I mean, the whole movie doesn't make any point. That's it for me lah. But then I guess I'm too thick to see.
You didn't get it.
I just didn't get it.
Did you find the camera technique disturbing? Was it something
it was trying hard to make it it was trying hard to be amateur, but it's a shot by professional. If they want to make it really work, they should have done it the Blair Witch Project with a cheap cam or something, a bad effect or something. Then it will be believable. But wow, so nice. Wow, can still see. And then the purposely made distortion, but doesn't work for me. Yeah.
What was the thing you called Cloverfield again?
Cloverfield.
Oh, so witty is it.
And that was Cloverfield.
And there was a reader who left a comment about the movie.
Mm-hmm. On the website?
Yes, and he said it was horrible. So I'm sorry, dude. Other people liked it, but you know, that's how it goes. There were people who walked out, so there you go.
And it's always good, lah, you know, to have an exchange of opinions. This is called agree to disagree.
Okay. Okay, it sounds so political.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Politically correct. And you watched award-winning movie.
Yes, that's right. I liked Atonement very much. The movie comes from the director of Pride and Prejudice, Joe Wright.
See, why don't you talk to Robin?
I do. I just move in different circles, that's all.
Dear Cecilia, you'd be forgiven for thinking me mad. The truth is, I feel rather light-headed and foolish in your presence, and I don't think I can blame the heat.
Ronnie!
Do you think you could do me a favour? Run ahead and give this to C.
Good heavens, you're blushing.
You ought to call the police.
You saw him?
Yes, I saw him. I know it was him.
You know it was him?
I saw him with my own eyes. I love you. Come back to me.
They gave me a choice. Stay in prison or join the army.
My darling, I love you. I'll wait for you. But no matter how hard I work, I can't escape from what I did and what it meant. The story, what's it about? A young girl who sees something which she doesn't understand, but she thinks she does.
It's adapted by Christopher Hampton from an Ian McEwan's novel. So you've got the beautiful Keira Knightley in the starring role and Vanessa Redgrave playing the older version of Keira's role. Vanessa Redgrave is excellent. To be honest, she has very little screen time, but her presence is just wonderful. So I liked her very much. And I've seen her actually in a play. So, you know,
Really?
Yeah.
Play
on stage.
Even.
Yeah, she's just one of those people, very enigmatic. So anyway, that's quite a few heavyweights in the creative team. And in fact, if you watch the trailer, you even just catch a whiff of some of the stills, you can almost tell it's going to be a movie that explores a human condition. Mm. Only it's never done in a very heavy-handed way. I was very happy to see that. Mm. In fact, a lot of it is very subtle and understated, just as you can expect of many British works.
Oh, it's British
right?
Movie, yeah.
Yeah. So the story basically revolves around a 13-year-old girl called Bryony, who has a very vivid imagination, and she starts the whole movie with the completion of her play. Okay, she writes a play and she wants this to be performed for her brother's homecoming by her distant cousins, okay? Mm. But then nobody wants to perform her play. Kids being kids, yuck, you know, play. So she's very, very disappointed with the response, and she actually starts to stare out the window and fantasize. But what should she see? She actually sees her sister, Cecilia, stripped to her undergarments and jump into the water fountain in their garden, okay?
Okay.
So this is done in front of Robbie, who's their servant's son. Yes.
Oh no, so skinny sad. Dipping with the help.
No. The help does not jump in. She strips and jumps in, and then he is like, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, I see.
So, but then of course got chemistry lah, right?
Yeah, if you take off all your clothes in front of me and jump into the water, I'll show you chemistry.
I didn't say take off all her clothes. She strips down to her undergarments.
But by that era standard, it's like naked already.
Yeah, you're right. You totally.
That's right, that's right.
So anyway, the chemistry is like sizzling, right? And there's intense. So immediately, Bryony, the 13-year-old sister, her wicked imagination is fired up, right? So the next chance she gets, she actually incriminates Robbie, okay, in a scandal that he was never involved in.
Much like Crucible. But she's not evil.
She's not really evil. I mean, I didn't interpret it as that way, but I know some people might actually feel that she was very, very evil.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then in true, like, movie voiceover fashion, it would be, and this changes the course of his life forever. It changes the course of their lives.
Everyone's life or forever.
Something like that.
Okay.
So anyway, this obviously affects her sister, Cecilia, who, you know, is obviously in love with Robbie, and it also affects Bryony herself. Okay, but I'm not going to give away the story.
Okay, so that's the plot.
That's roughly, okay?
Okay.
So in the course of the movie, I think what was interesting for me was that I kept asking myself whether or not what I was watching was real, or, I mean, when does a particular episode take place, or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, there's this blurring of, is this in somebody's mind? Is this the truth that happens? So I think for this, we actually have the director to thank, because the way the story is told is very much in the sense of who's telling this story.
Oh, I see.
So in terms of acting, I think the girl who plays the 13-year-old Bryony, her name is so unpronounceable when you first look at it. It's Saoirse.
It's pronounced Saoirse.
That's right. But it's actually it's actually spelled S-A-O-I-R-S-E. So it looks like Saoirse.
If you were in a polyclinic, the auntie will read your name like that.
Correct.
Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Please come, Saoirse. Pick out your medicine, please.
Counter 10. So Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse is Gaelic, by the way.
That's right.
I'm so snobby. I can tell you what Gaelic means. Gaelic. No, garlic.
Garlic
name.
Swanto.
Very smelly.
Well, she's very excellent. Her portrayal was, she's like petulant 13-year-old, but very dark, you know. And if you look at her, you just probably just write her off as a kid, like, blonde girl, you know.
Wait, dark as in her character is dark, not her face, skin
no,
dark, right?
Okay. No. She's petulant, but dark as a character.
Oh, character, sorry.
Yeah. So she sets it up for a very excellent finish for Vanessa Redgrave.
Vanessa Redgrave is the older version.
Yes. In fact, you see this 13-year-old Bryony girl, there's actually three incarnations of her. There's her at 13, then there's her a bit older, and then there's her very old.
Then a bit older one is who, Egg one?
Don't know her name.
Oh, it's like too short to even bother, right?
No, actually it's not that short, but she's not that exciting for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Keira Knightley and James McAvoy, obviously, they are the eye candy and the stars. They're definitely worthy of their Golden Globe nominations. But I think my favourite is actually the 13-year-old and the 70-year-old, Bryony.
The old and the young.
The old and the young.
Okay.
Atonement.
Okay.
Go and atone your sins now.
Ayo. I don't know whether I want to watch it. I'm very heavy.
No, don't. Don't just because I say like that, then you think it's heavy. Oh. I never use the word heavy.
I think British and I think drama, and I think it might be heavy. Very prejudiced, right? Very Pride and Prejudice.
Very Pride and Prejudice. Okay, over to you now. TV.
TV. Terminator.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor Chronicles is the series we're looking at.
In the future, my son will lead mankind in a war against Skynet. A computer system programmed to destroy the world. It has sent machines back through time. Some to kill him, one to protect him. Today we fight to stop Skynet from ever being created, to change our future, to change his fate. The war to save mankind begins now.
It's the new TV series from the creators of Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. And it's based on the events following T2. Not Terminator 2. Terminator 2. Judgment Day. Not the airport. And it follows the life of Sarah Connor, mother of John Connor, savior of the world. And if you haven't seen the Terminator movies, then basically you need to get out of that rock that you are living under. But okay, for the sake of you who may not have seen the Terminator movies at all, in the future, man is at war with machines that they created, right? And the machines got sentient and then rebelled and then Armageddon and all that stuff. And the machines are led by a rogue computer system called Skynet. The leader of the human resistance is John Connor. And in the movies, assassin cyborgs called Terminators were sent by Skynet in the future back into the past to assassinate John Connor and to prevent him from being born in some form or another. Either kill the mother, which is what Terminator 1 was about, or kill the son in Terminator 2.
Right.
Most people I know don't really like Terminator 3 and may not even consider Terminator 3, the movie, canon to the storyline. So I'm kind of glad that the series takes off from Terminator 2 because a lot of interesting stuff and questions unanswered at the end of Terminator 2.
Okay.
When Sarah Connor leaves and runs away, you know, to the desert to continue her good fight. Well, it is actually a lot more interesting to see how Sarah Connor continues to raise her son now who's a teenager, 15 years old, and now on the run from the police as well as she was in the movies, and from other Terminators sent to hunt and kill them down. While trying to stop Skynet, of course, from being birthed.
I see.
Yeah. So far, there's been a pilot and a second episode. There was a slight delay between the pilot and the second episode because of the writer's strike in Hollywood.
Ah, of course.
That's why kind of like diotat, kind of block. So far, it's been very entertaining. The pilot begins in 1999, which is when a new Terminator called Mr. Cromartie, which is a teacher, has been sent to kill Sarah and John as they try to settle down in their new life in a new town. Small town, which is what they've been always trying to do.
Correct.
Run, you know, take new identities, hide.
But it never works, right? They always find them out.
It never works. And Sarah even has a fiancé by then, you know, Charlie Dixon, who is like a medic, EMT medic. But all that lovely family life is shot to pieces when, you know, the new Terminator shows up. And in addition to Cromartie, James Ellison, an FBI agent, is also pursuing the Connors. So a lot of people are going after them.
Yeah,
very sad. In T2, Arnold Schwarzenegger is their protector, right? In the first T1, he was the bad guy. In T2, he was their protector. And in this series, their new Terminator guardian is a young teen Terminator called Cameron Phillips.
Wow.
Yeah, played by Summer Glau, who is in Firefly.
Okay.
He's the lead character in Firefly. Cameron, the name, is kind of a tribute to the original director of T1 and T2.
Oh, I see.
James Cameron.
So. I see.
So that was what they were doing. This Cameron character, the Teen Terminator, is more advanced than Arnold's T-800 model. She can imitate human behavior better, can even eat, but she cannot be like liquefied like the T-1000 that you see in T2.
Okay,
so she's not that advanced.
Haven't seen you around here before. Did you just move here?
Yeah.
Sucks for you.
We can't stay here, John.
No one knows us.
We're safe.
Don't think that, John. No one is ever safe.
FBI.
Your fiancé killed a man because she believes that in the future he'll invent a computer system that declares war on the world.
Cameron Phillips?
Here.
Do we have a John Reese? Excellent.
Come with me if you want to live.
I'm not who they think I am. You changed the future, you just didn't change it enough. So you can do it again.
You want to stop Skynet? This is the way.
Mom, we gotta go, now!
Do it!
Where are we? Same where, different when.
And of course, Teen Terminator says to them, come with me if you want to live. Classic line, right? So when you're a big fan, you hear that line, you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this time it's spoken by a teen girl, you know, which is kind of cool. And away they run, you know, cars, explosions, car crashes everywhere, like gunfire. They have to jump 8 years into 2007 to stop Skynet in that period. So they went from 1999 and jumped to 2007.
Oh, that's
so that's why it's set in present day.
Oh, that's quite exciting, actually, right? They're jumping time.
Yes, and then the setting is different. They are like people who used to live in the 90s, and suddenly they're in, you know, a world where there's internet and new technologies, large screen TVs, and a different world actually for them.
Mm.
And post 9/11.
I see.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So in addition to the action and the decent effects, the series tries to explore the human struggles, which is very interesting. I mean, what Sarah goes through, you know, knowing that she's the mother of humankind, but she has to save the world, right? And she's on the run. She has to lose her identity all the time. She can't be herself because she has to hide. And John also struggles with having no father figure. You know, in T2, Arnold was his father figure-like character. And he has to lose the closest thing he has to a father figure, which is Charlie Dixon, the guy who was supposed to marry the mom, who was trying to find him as well. I love Summer Glau. I've always, you know, been a big fan of her in Firefly. She's great as Cameron. She has this deadpan face. She has very cool lines that she delivers with a, you know, deadpan face. And she explores human behavior. She tries to imitate. She's learning as she goes along. It's quite funny, those moments. It's a very promising series. I think, you know, it's worth watching. And there are a lot of allusions to modern day issues, like when they try to get their identities done, secret identities done in 2007, the gang that's supposed to do it for them said the price is very high because in post 9/11 it's more and more difficult to get these things done.
Correct.
So she's like, what's 9/11?
Ah.
Then everyone's like looking at her like she's crazy.
Oh, I see. Sarah Connor. Because of that time.
That jump between 99 and 2007, she's lost. She doesn't know what history has happened. So
okay. I think that's probably the differentiating factor as well, because as you were describing it, I was thinking Battlestar Galactica. A little bit of like resonance.
No. It's very down to earth, and she even makes allusions to having to deal with billions of people dying in the future when Skynet wages war against mankind, and the thought of planes crashing into buildings. Mm. As compared to that, you know, I'm facing a bigger responsibility, a bigger fear.
Mm.
Very, very cool way of kind of tying modern events to the whole Terminator franchise.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You recommend it?
Highly recommend it. But there are fans who may not like it, because fans of Terminator series, they like the grittiness as well. This is not as gritty as the series.
Okay.
Especially 1. Terminator 1 is in a class of its own. This is not as dark. You know, and I think what the director said was he's going to try to avoid the Terminator of the Week kind of syndrome, where every week there's a different Terminator coming after you.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to find other threats
Correct.
To deal with as well.
So that's why they've gone this very social, political way.
Yes. Mm. So they're trying to explore the other stuff, and there'll be additional threats. There'll be other freedom fighters, resistance people jumping through time in present day as well. So the additional characters that they can explore.
Mm.
Cool, right?
Cool.
Yeah. So that's Sarah Connor Chronicles. Do catch it when you can, and that's See What Show.
That's See What Show.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
A production of See What Show.com.